Today's daf is Nun Vav. We'll start on daf Nun Hey Amid Beis, three lines up before the end. Amar Rav Huna, Kol Ir She'ein Bo Yerek, Ein Talmud Chacham Rashai Ladur Bo. In other words, if you don't have a good, healthy vegetable, and you could buy it pretty inexpensively, so a Talmud Chacham is not necessarily a rich person, he's sitting and learning, he doesn't have time to go out and raise the funds, and therefore we want to give him a less expensive item. So he should buy a yerek. So Chag Sameach, Madim Simcha. So we are now two lines up before the end of Nun Hey Amid Beis. L'memra diyerek ma'alya. Are you telling me that it's very important to eat vegetables and very healthy? Vasanya, we have a brice that says shlosha marbim es azel kofin es hakoma. In other words, there are three foodstuffs that will cause you to have a great deal of excrement, and also it'll weaken the person. And notlim echad mechamesh meos mima'or einav shal adam, and they take away 1/500 of a person's eyesight. Ve'eluhim, and what are they? And we're up to nun vav paskibar. This is a kind of a bread that's made of inferior quality flour, and shechar chadash, which means beer that's new, it's fresh, it hasn't yet been processed and sitting there in the hops for 40 days. V'yerek, and even a vegetable is unhealthy for the body. Lo kasha ha besume v'karse ha b'shar yarke. When Rav Huna said that it's very important to eat vegetables, he was talking about vegetables of the like of tume v'karse. These are various types of garlics and leeks, and they are very healthy. But shar yarke, other yurakos are not necessarily so healthy for the body. That's what the Gemara is going to try to prove now by quoting a braisa. And we'll see the braisa in just a second. He says here that garlics and leeks are healthy, and other vegetables are not healthy. And Rashi quotes another girsa, apparently, another interpretation, that on the contrary, all vegetables are healthy, just that garlic and leek are unhealthy. But let's see the way the Gemara develops it based on a braisa. Kedisanya, we have a braisa that says, shum yerek, meaning that a garlic is a vegetable that's healthy for the body, ukration and leeks, chatzi yerek. In other words, they're only half as healthy. And nira tznon nira chai chsama moves. In other words, a radish, if it appears on the table, is nira lo kesam, I'm sorry, sama chayim. I read it wrong, sorry. And it's even healthier for the body. Vahatanya niretz no nira samamovis. Oh, that was the bright side of mine. Lokasha kan bi olin kan bi imo. So the bulb of the radish is healthy for the body, but the leaves and the olim that grow on top, those are very poisonous. Those are very sharp. He calls it the leaves of the radish plant. Very good. Now the Gemara adds another qualification. The Gemara says, kan b'yemos hachama, kan b'yemos hakshamim. Now this sounds like a new teretz unto itself, that these two brisos are both dealing with the bulb, or we'll call it the roots of the plant, of the radish plant, but those that are detrimental for your health are those that are grow. Which one is which? Let's just see. Bimos hachama during the summer months, when the body is hot, then it's healthy to eat radishes, because radishes cool off the body. But during the winter months, when a person's body is cold, so it's not healthy to eat radishes. If a city is built on a mountain or on the side of a mountain, so you're always constantly climbing and going down, like if you've ever seen Gibraltar, is Adam Ubehema Sheba Mesim Bechatzimehem. That this is very strain. This is a strain on the heart, and it's going to cause a person or an animal to die prematurely, half its years. So the Gemara says Mesim Salkadak, does it really mean he'll die? Ela Ema Maskinin Bechatzimehem. Once they get old prematurely, and they get weak. Because this is too much of a strain on the body to constantly be involved in climbing and so forth. Omar Avuna Breda Rabbi Yeshua Hani Mul Yasa Deve Biri U Deve Norosh Azkinin. He says that these steep roads between the cities of Biri and Narsh caused me to age prematurely. Okay, now, at this point, we go back to what was discussed on Daf Nun Hei, and that means that we take the boundaries of a town. If, let's say, for example, you have a city that's basically round, and we figure it as if it was square. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Bola Rabba, when he's coming to square it off, Mirabba Beribui Olam. Tzfona l'tzfona olam, droma l'droma olam. So there, theoretically, there are two ways that you could square off the outer part of the circumference of a circle. One is where the circle is perfectly in a square. The other is where you tip the square on its, let's call it, its southernmost point, and its northernmost point is straight on top of the circle. That means it's like a diamond shape. And the Bryce establishes that when you are measuring the city and you're squaring it off, it's a round city, then you should make sure that you are following the direction of the world. In other words, whatever is north in the globe, like towards the North Pole, that's the way you should organize the square. So it's not meant to be tipped on an angle. It's meant so that the top part of the square that we're going to put a line straight across on top of the circle, that's going to be sitting literally on top of the circle in a flat way, you know, it's horizontally from right to left. But now the question is, how does a person, let's say the surveyors, how do they determine, how do they know which is the north part of the city? Part of the globe. In other words, you're looking at the city and you're trying to create a square. So v'simanach, and this is Roman numeral number one in this sugi, because the Gemara is going to offer a second option, because not everyone can look up at the stars and know about the constellations and how they form constellations. But if you do know that and you have a clear starry night, then Egla Batsafon. Now, Egla is a young calf, and in the zodiac, that's called Taurus, that's called the Shar. Now, the reason why this particular constellation is called an Egla is because it does have the shape of a Shar. And this constellation will always be visible, Batzafon, on the northern part of the sky. So if you see the Egla, then you know you're turning towards the north. The Akrov Batzafon. And Cancer, which Akrov, that's in the south. So if you look up at the sky, you'll be able to know which is north and which is south. Now, once you know which is north and which is south, then you could turn to your right, and that's going to be east, and to your left, and that's going to be left. So you'll be able to square it off by looking at the constellations. Rabbi Yossi Omer, but Rabbi Yossi asked the following question: Me'eni yodea l'rabba b'ribuo shal olam? Let's say, for example, he can't see the stars, or he doesn't know how to identify the various constellations. So Rabbi Yossi wants to offer an alternative way of figuring out the directions, and his way is by watching the sun rise and the sun set. You're going to be able to tell the directions of north and south by sunrise and sunset. Now, we know the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, so how does that give you north and south? Because again, you know, if you know only the east and the west, I mean, you can look at it this way, you can look at it that way, you'll never be able to know exactly which is north and south. So how does Rabbi Yossi accomplish his goal, Ketzad? And he says it depends on the Tkufas Hashana. It depends where you are. So in the calendar. And the two extremes are what's called Tkufas Tammuz and Tkufas Teves, which means the summer solstice and the winter solstice. In the summer solstice, you have the longest day. In other words, although there are 24 hours in a day, you don't divide up day and night by 12 and 12. The day and the night are not equal, except for two moments in the calendar. And those are the, let's call it the autumn equinox, which was Tkufas Tishrei, and Tkufas Nisan. So at those points, you'll have a day which is 12 hours and a night which is 12 hours. But if you talk about Tkufas Tammuz, then you're talking about a period of time in which daylight is much longer. We're in the northern hemisphere, by the way. Anyway, daylight is longer than nighttime. And when you get to Tkufas the Teves, when you're talking about the winter solstice, then you're talking about very long nights and very short days. So in the summer, the days are much longer. Actually, our Gemara is going to touch on the issue of how long the day could possibly be, or how short the day could possibly be, long in the summer and short in the winter. But right now, the Gemara is of the opinion that the day during the summer could be very, very long, and the winter could have a very short day. So, Chama Yotza B'yom Oroch. So we're talking about Tkufas Tammuz. He's going to get to Tkufas Teves in just a second. So in Tkufas Tammuz, the sun on that day of Tkufas Tammuz, when the day is the longest, right, the daylight hours are the longest of the whole year round, is Yotza Vishokas B'yom Aruch, when you see the sun rising and especially setting, then Zeu Pnei Tzafon, then you can look and see and determine which is the north. In other words, what's going to happen is, and I don't know if you have a little diagram, is that at the point of the summer solstice, the sun is going to rise on the northeastern side, and it's actually going to go all the way around three quarters of the way around until it sets on the northwestern side. So it goes from northeast all the way around to northwest, but it's always on the northern side. And then that fourth part of the rotation of the sun is going to be Lila. And it's going to go from west to east when it's going to rise again on the east. But this whole process is going to be on the northern side, meaning the Zricha and the Shkia will both be on the northern side. So it's easy for him to tell north and south by looking at the sun in Tkufas Tammuz. Now again, as I mentioned before, the Gemara is going to have a problem with this, because the objection is going to be because you're only leaving one quarter of the day, which is 6 hours, because there are 24 hours in the day, for the sun to be on the other side of the globe, meaning for nighttime. Whereas the daylight hours are going to be 18 hours. And generally speaking, we judge these rotations of the sun by Yerushalayim. So there's no such thing as a day in Yerushalayim that's 18 hours of daylight. So I'm just pointing out that, giving you a little preview of what the problem is going to be. Now we're going to get to Tkufas Teves, which is the winter solstice according to Rabbi Yossi. Is Achama Yotza B'yom Katsar. So we're talking about the shortest day of the year when there's the least amount of daylight hours. And Shokas B'yom Katsar. Where is the Zricha and where is the Shkia? Zel Pnei Daron. It's always going to be on the south side. So the sun is going to rise at Kufas Tammuz on the southeastern side and set on the southwestern side, which means it's going only one quarter of the entire square, the four parts of the square, which means you're left with only 6 hours of daylight. Now, during Tkufas Nisan and Tkufas Tishrei, we're talking about those days on the calendar where there's 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of nightfall. And that means, you know, we'll call it the autumn and the spring solstice, is then Chama Yotze B'chatzi Mizrach and Shokas B'chatzi Marav. So if you have your square and you've got the Mizrach on your right and the Marav on your left, the sun is going to rise halfway between north and south. So let's take halfway of the Mizrach where the sun is going to rise. That's midway between north and south. And then in the circular motion of the sun as it appears on earth, it's going to end up on the western side, but halfway between north and south. So it's always halfway between north and south, and therefore the sun goes basically halfway around the square, and that gives you 12 hours of daylight. And you can see by the movement of the sun as it goes from east to west, it's going first south and then it's going to go north. So you'll be able to tell which is south and which is north. Like, let's say, for example, in the early hours of the day, you're going to see the sunrise on the east and it's going to be tilted towards the south. On the other hand, towards the end of the day, let's say, for argument's sake, at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you're going to see the sun make its round and start going towards the north. So that's how you're going to be able to tell south and north. And the whole point of Rabbi Yossi is to give us a method by which we could tell where is the north of the globe and where is the south of the globe. And we could be able to do this based on what period of time we are in the year. Shenemar, and Rabbi Yossi actually derives this from a pasuk. At the beginning of Sefer Koheles, this is the book of wisdom, Shlomo HaMelech gives us the wisdom. He says, Holech el Darom v'sovev el Tzafon. So that the sun is going south, coming around, and now going north. And this is going to be typical of the Tkufos. Why? Because if the sun in the first part of this pasuk is going south, right? It's always going south. So then, let's say during Tkufas Teves, right? We said that during Tkufas Teves, the sun rises in the south. Do you remember that? And then it goes across the south towards the west, from southeast to southwest. And that's going to take all of 6 hours. And those are the 6 hours of daylight at Kufas Teves. Then the pasuk says, V'sovev el Tzafon Balayla, which means that now that the sun has set in the south, in the southwest, now it turns towards the north, and that's called nighttime. Sovev el Tzafon Balayla. And it's going to go all the way around, traveling north and then east until it reaches the northern eastern point. And that's going to be where it rises again for the next day. Then the pasuk says, Sovev, Sovev, Holech HaRuach. And now we have the word Holech and the word Sovev. Elu pnei mizrach upnei marav, shepa'omim al-chasan upa'omim misavavasan. It means that the word holech is appropriate for the daylight hours, and that's called pnei mizrach and pnei marav, meaning that the sun goes from mizrach and it travels towards the east, traveling towards the west, and then it's pa'amim mehalchasan. Okay, now pa'amim mehalchasan is going to refer to tkufas tamuz, when the days are very long, upa'amim savavasam, and during the winter months, referred to as misavavasam, it's just going to make that little turn on the bottom, which means it's got a very short laila period, because the daylight, misavosim laila means it goes all the way around till where it's going to rise in the next day, and that's 3/4 of this rectangle, or square, I should say, and then you're going to have 18 hours of nighttime. Omer Rav Meshashe, lesnu lala klol. We reject all these principles of Rav Yossi, meaning it's impossible to have during the summer 18 hours of daylight and during the winter 6 hours of daylight. There's no such thing as a day that's so long, 3/4 of the 24 hours long, and there's no such thing as a day that is so short that it's only 1/4 of the day is daylight, at least from Yerushalayim. Tesanya, we learned in a brisa, lo yotza chama me olam mikeren Mizrachis Tzfonis Vishaka Bekerim Maravis Tzfonis. The way you're describing sunrise and sunset during the summer months, in which the sun rises on the northeast and then sets on the northwest, is the Brisa says Lo Yotza, it never happened. It's impossible. And the Brisa continues and says, Lo Yotza Chama Mikerem Mizrach is Dromis, Vishaka Bikerem Arav is Dromis. It's impossible for the sun, as we saw it in Rav Yossi, during the winter months, or let's call it Tkufas Teves, to go from the south from the southeast to the southwest, right? Just going that 6-hour period, so you'll have a daylight of 6 hours, that's impossible. So that according to Rabbi Misharshi, the only way that a person can know which are the Rucho Shel Olam, you know, which are the directions of the earth, is only by knowing the constellations in the sky and identifying where's Taurus and where's Cancer, that's the north and the south. But by looking at the way the sun goes, it would seem that Rav Misharshia rejects it. I would suggest another possibility, that it could be that what Rav Misharshia is pointing out is that although it's really true that there is a general direction during the summer months towards, in the sun's motion of going towards the north, whereas in the winter towards the south, but it's not so radical as you say it is. So for example, I have here, just one second, I think I have it. I have a diagram here, and he shows you the difference in the way the sun circles around and is seen from the earth during Nisan, during Teves, and he's got circles that are pretty close to each other on Nisan and Teves. When it comes to Tammuz and Teves, he has circles that are much more distant one from another in terms of the way the sun is going around the earth. Now, at this point in the Gemara is going to introduce some of the astronomy of Shmuel, which is otherwise known as Tkufas Shmuel. Okay, Omar Shmuel. So I have here in the Masifta a very long introduction to Tkufas Shmuel. And the premise of Shmuel is that the solar year is made up of 365 days and 6 hours. And of course, the solar year is divided up into 4 seasons, which are called Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tammuz, Tkufas Tishrei, Tkufas Teves. And the word Tkufa, he says, Miloshen HaKofa, because it reflects the way the sun is seen as being makif es ha'aretz. And every beginning of the tkufa, the sun goes back to the same point where it was a year earlier, at that same moment. And again, in Tkufas Nisan, we said days and nights are equal, and from then on, the days get longer, the nights get shorter. We get to Tkufas Tammuz, and now the days are reaching their maximum length, and then from there they start getting shorter and shorter until we get to Tkufas Tishrei, where the days and the nights are equal. All this is relevant basically to two halachas. Number one, it's relevant to the halacha that we're about to actually implement now with the same Talmud Matar. In Chutz Laaretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it always starts, Bakashas Kshomim always starts on the 7th of Cheshvan, but in Chutz Laaretz, it coincides with the winter solstice. So this Tkufa, we have to know about in order to know when in Chutz Laaretz to start reciting the same Talmud Motah. It's also relevant to Ibur Hashana. And for this, you have to learn Sugyas in Sanhedrin and Rosh Hashanah to know what would be the reasoning and the motivation for the Chachamim to establish an extra month of Adar. And that's going to make sure to guarantee that we align the lunar calendar with the solar calendar. The solar calendar meaning the Tkufos. And if you don't know exactly how long the Tkufos are, then you're not going to be able to do this. So if we take 365 days and 6 hours, and we're going to divide it into 4 tkufos, Okay, so what we're going to end up with is the following. He says that in the horizon, the sun is seen as going in a circular 360 degrees around the observer. And in the spring and autumn equinoxes, the night and day are roughly equal. And the sun appears directly overhead at noon on the equator. Okay, fine. Now, he has a whole long discussion here about the solar year is 365 days and 6 hours long. Now, if we divide up into 4 seasons, then 4 into 365 and 6 hours is 91 days and 7 and a half hours. So that he gives an example of Yom Revi'i, because that's the day in which there were the creation of the Ma'oros. He says, let's say in a particular season we begin the season at nightfall on the fourth day of the week. Okay, fine. So now, if we're talking about the fourth day of the week, and the season begins at nightfall, so he's going to assume here that the following season is going to begin 13 weeks later, because if a week is 7 and you multiply 7 by 13, you end up with 91, and you have to add 7 and a half hours into the night. So if you start at 6 p.m., you're going to end up at 1:30 a.m., which means 1.5 hours past midnight. So that's going to give you the beginning of the second season. Then you start the third season, which is, again, you fast forward 13 weeks and 7.5 hours, and then you're going to begin at 15 hours into the fourth day, which is going to be 3 hours after sunrise. And then the fourth season is going to be in 13 hours later, plus 7.5 hours. And that's going to be at 10.5 hours into the day. Omar Shmuel, Ein Tkufas Nisan Nofeles, Ela Biarba Rive Hayon, O Betchilas Hayon. He says that the spring equinox does not fall except at the four quarter points of the day. He says, what are the four points of the day? Nightfall, right, which is Shkia, I guess. Midnight, daybreak, which is Zricha. And then we have noon, Chatzos Hayom. So when we get to Tkufas Nisan, where we say the day and night are exactly equal, they're 12 hours long, these four times together constitute the quarter points of the cycle. So it's be 6 p.m., 12 midnight, 6 a.m., 12 noon. Or at the beginning of the night, or Bechatzi Yom midday, Chatzi Laila, which is midnight, Chatzos. Or, right, so those are the four possibilities. Tchilas Hayom, I skipped that. Tchilas Laila, Chatzi Yom, Chatzi Laila. He says that the sun was placed into orbit at nightfall on the fourth day of creation, at the beginning of the Nisan season. Okay? So I think he's assuming here that the world was created in Nisan. And it was on the fourth day of creation, and it was at nightfall. Nightfall means Shkia, going into the fourth day of creation. So each subsequent year, this season begins 1.25 days, that's 1 day and 6 hours later. So that in the second year, it began at midnight, in the third year at daybreak, in the fourth year at midday, on the fifth year, it once again begins at nightfall, but a day later. And this is the 4-year cycle that repeats itself endlessly. He says, V'ein t'kufas tamuz nofeles. These are the longest days of the year, in Tammuz, the summer solstice. Ela obi achas u'mechzol b'shevo mechza. At either 1.5 hours or 7.5 hours. Bein b'yomu bein b'layla, into the day or into the night. Or what it means is that a season falls 13 weeks and 7.5 hours after the previous one, since the spring can only begin at nightfall, midday, midnight, daybreak, or noon. The 4 possible times that the summer season can begin would be 7.5 hours into the night, 1.5 hours into the day, 7.5 hours into the day, or 1.5 hours into the night. The Ein Tkufas Tishrei Nofeles Ela O B'Sholosh Shos O B'Teisha Shos. Either 3 or 9 hours. Bein B'Yom U'Bein B'Layla. Again, the time lapse between the previous season and the new one and 13 weeks, and yet 7.5 hours to the 4 possible times in which the previous season began. So he's always constantly adding 7.5 hours. V'Ein Tkufas Teves Nofeles Ela O B'Arbo Mechza O B'Yeser Mechza, at either 4.5 or 10.5 hours. Right, so once again, if you'll notice the numbers, the way that it progresses, it's always going to be in progress of 7.5 hours. Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. V'Ein Bein Tkufa L'Tkufa L'Tishim V'Echad Yom V'Sheva Sholso Mechza. So beginning of one Tkufa and the beginning of the next Tkufa is going to be 91 days and 7.5 hours. From the beginning of one season to the next is the celestial bodies change only by 1/2 hour. Okay, that's something that we should have to understand. But the main point is that Shmuel takes a year of 365 days and 6 hours, divides them into 4 periods. He starts his calculation with Kufas Nisan, and he has his 4 points, and then every additional Tkufa, in addition to adding the 13 weeks or the 91 days, you also add 7.5 hours. And that's how he knows how each one of the seasons is going to begin within a year. And as we said before, when we go from one year to the next year, then we're going to be adding at least an extra day, actually a day and 6 hours. So eventually you're going to need what's called the Ibra Shana in order to make sure that we align the solar and lunar calendars. Now what does he mean when he says, V'ein t'kufa moshechas mechavrata ela chatzi sha'a? So here he has a long, long footnote. I'm going to leave this footnote for later and we'll see if we have time. Now, Shmuel goes on and says something about conditions that could be very harmful and very detrimental based on the hours of the day when various of the 7 heavenly bodies, these are moving heavenly bodies, are prominent. So for example, the visible stars, that's most of the stars in the heaven, are viewed as having a fixed position in the celestial sphere. That's how they're visible to the naked eye. But there are 7 exceptions in which the movement of these 7 celestial spheres, these stars, can be seen by the naked eye. And those are called the Shiva Kochavei Leches. Leches means moving. Now, I'm going to read the 7 in English, and we'll see a few of them in Hebrew. These are Mercury, Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, the Sun, and Venus. And Chazal is teaching that these 7 celestial spheres serve at different hours of the day. Serve meaning they function. And they follow each other in a continuous cycle, which begins with the first hour of the week. The first hour is the hour right after Shabbos ends, and that's the hour of Mercury. Then it's followed by, in the second hour, by Moon, third hour by Saturn, etc., etc. And this cycle repeats itself in the eighth hour with Mercury again. So the first hour on Sunday is the hour of the Sun, then it's followed by Venus, etc., etc. And he says that all this is quoted by Rashi in the name of a book that was written by Rav Shabsai Dinolo, which is a scientist who lived before Rashi's time. Now, since the cycle of the seven moving stars repeats itself endlessly, each season begins 7.5 hours later than the previous one, it is in effect begins half of a moving star, because every star moves for an hour. You know, that's when it, so to speak, is dominant. And the, for example, the previous season begins with the hour of Mercury, the following season will be halfway through the hour of Mercury, the third season with the hour of the Moon, etc., etc. And Shmuel makes the following statement. He says, Ein lecha tkufas nisan shenofelas betzedek. Tzedek is the Hebrew word for Jupiter. So the Nisan equinox, which we said is the spring equinox, would not fall in the hour of Jupiter unless it's a bad sign. Sheina mishaberes esailonos. So if the Tkufa of Nisan coincides with the hour of Tzedek, of Jupiter, which we said before, where would Jupiter be in the thing? That would be the third hour. If Mercury is the first, the Moon is the second, Saturn is Shabsai, and then we get to Tzedek in the fourth hour. And it's going to ruin the trees if that happens. So it's a bad sign. So this is how I guess you'd read the zodiac according to Shmuel. Ein lecha tkufas tevis shenofelas betzedek she'ena miyabeshes es ha'zroim. If on the other hand tkufas tevis, which is the winter solstice, falls, coincides with tzedek, again, which is the fourth hour, which is the hour of Jupiter, then it's going to dry up the seeds. It's also a bad sign. However, he limits this, he restricts this. Behu disyaled levana o bilavana o betzedek. This is only applicable if the moon in that month makes its new appearance. That's called chidush halavana, leidas halavana. And that would happen either during the hour of the moon or Jupiter. So the rule that these calamities occur in a year in which the spring or autumn equinoxes begin in the hour of Jupiter holds true only if the new moon of that Nisan or Teves of the equinox begins in either the hour of the moon or the hour of Jupiter. Okay, now we turn to Daf Nunvav Amid Beis. Now we said that amongst the Kulos of Tchumen, when we establish the boundary of the city, so we're going to draw a rectangle around the last house in the city. So we're going to measure the Tchum with this Kula of 2,000 Amos out of each side from the last city. And we're going to be able to do this even on two sides, extend the tchum on two sides to form a rectangle. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa, Amarabea es ha'ir. So let's say he has a circular city, and in order to establish the tchum of the city, he makes a square out of the circle. Osa osa kimin tavla mirubas. He makes it like a square tablet so that the borders of the city are drawn as tangents to the circle of the city in all four directions. So you take a circle which has a diameter of 2,000 amah, and you set up a square on four sides, and each one of those squares has 2,000 amas, because again, the tchum of Shabbos is 2,000 amas beyond the outer border of the city. So you've made out of the circular city a square, and now you have 2,000 amas in each of these four directions, right? North, east, and south and west. Okay. So we're talking about a diameter of 2,000 amma, and when we square the city, we're going to end up with a square with sides that are 2,000 amma long. So when the tchum is drawn, 2,000 amma for the north, that's just one example, it's extended across the entire face of the city. Face of the city here means the width of the city. And you're going to end up with a square of 2,000 by 2,000 amma. And we're going to do this in each of four directions. So when the Braisa says, Oso sokimin tavla merubas, so he says, he squares the tchum area, it doesn't mean that he sets about measuring a square. It means only that when he finishes laying out the tchum boundaries, he will find that the tchum areas directly opposite each side of the city are squares. Okay, now it says v'chozer u'merabea es hatchumin v'yoso son kimin tavla merubas. So this he does, as we said, on each direction. So now he has like four squares, and they jut out from each direction of the circle 2,000 amos. Ukshumodeid lo yimdod me etzba me emtza keren alpayim amo. He should not measure the 2,000 amos from the middle of the corner, and that's a diagonal which comes from each corner of the city. Mipneshu mafsid es hazovios. So the tchum of the city can be drawn by measuring diagonally from each of the corners of the city, and then connecting the ends of these lines. The Braisa teaches us that if he measures in this manner, he must measure more than 2,000 amma. So again, if you're setting up a diagonal, right, from each of the corners of the city, and then you can connect the lines, then he's got to use a measurement of more than 2,000 amma. Right? Shalo yimtza mi emtza. Emtza means the diagonal of the keren, of the corner, alpayim amma. It's got to be more than 2,000 amma. Neshu mafsid es azovios. Because if you go on the diagonal, then you're going to end up with more than 2,000 amma, and by measuring it in terms of 2,000 amma, you're cutting out the corners, the four corners. And the kula here is that we want to add the corners by squaring off the circle. So again, he summarizes it and he says the following. This is note number 4. He says, when we measure the 2,000 amos diagonally from each corner and then connect the points to form a rectangle, then the actual tchum, when you measure it from the boundary of the city, would come to only 1,428 amos. Do you follow? In other words, if he cuts out the corners, he ends up with 1,428 amos. Okay. So the diagonal of a square, Rashi says, is 1.4 times the length of its side. Actually, we know it to be a different fraction, but whatever it is, 1.4. So that's the approximation of the square root of 2. For the tchum to extend 2,000 amos perpendicularly from the city, its diagonal from the corner of the city must come to 2,000 times 1.4 amos, which would be 2,800 amos. So that's a major difference. And that's because you want to include the corners by setting up a diagonal from the square that you've made around the city, around the circle of the city. Elamevi tavla merubas, shehi alpayim amal alpayim amor, umeinicha bekeren ba'alach sona. Okay, so we're going to set it up on a diagonal. And again, I don't know if in your Gemara you have these diagrams. Rashi has his own diagram. He says, the square is laid out at each corner of the city in such a way that its diagonal merges with diagonal of the squared city to form a continuous line. Okay, so when we measure 2,000 amma on each side of the city in the manner described, then we will be left with a gap at each corner of the tchum. To complete the square of the tchum, we would in effect be adding a square of 2,000 amas at each corner. Okay, fine. And the diagonal of these corner squares will come to 2,800 amas. So once the city has been squared, we need only to bring a square of 2,000 amas by 2,000 amas, place it at each corner of the city, and then we align its diagonal with the diagonal of the city, and then it connects these points. And what the surveyor actually does is to extend the diagonal of the city by the length of this imaginary square's diagonal, which is 2,800 amos. And then he connects the points to form a square. Nimtzai ir mistakeres, the additional amount, again you have the square on one side and the square on the other side, is arbamios amalekan, arbamios amalekan. So this diagonal, which is now 2,800 amos, will add 400 amos on each square, and there are four squares, and therefore, if we're dealing with a circular city of 2,000 amos in diameter, had the city boundaries been left circular, the distance from the city center to any boundary would have been exactly 1,000 amma. By extending the city into a 2,000 amma by 2,000 amma square, we have and then you use the diagonal of the square, we have extended the distance from the center of the city to each corner by 400 ammas. And that's all based on the fact that the diagonal of a square is 1.4 size times the length of the side. Nimtzu tchumen mistakrim, shmonameos amalekan, ushmonameos amalekan. Right? If you're adding 400 amas here and 400 amas there, then totally you end up with an addition of 800 amas. Nimtza ir utchumin mistakrim, elef umasayim lekan vi elef umasayim lekan. So it means that you've added 400 amos on each of the four, I'm sorry, right, 400 amos on each of the four squares is 4 times 4 is 1200 amos. Omar Abaye, These measurements and the additional 1,200 amma make sense or apply to a circular city which is 2,000 by 2,000 ammas, which means its diameter is 2,000 ammas. So that Abai is saying that only in that particular city will you gain exactly 1,200 ammas, or 400 ammas on each corner of the four corners. And now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to find a basis for this in the Torah, and I think we've touched on this in the past, that in Dvarim, Perek Lamed Hey, we have a parish of the Ari Aleviim. There are 48 Ari Aleviim, and in addition to the Arim, the cities themselves, they were given a strip of land outside the city. That strip of land was made up of two equal parts. One was called Migrash, and that means that there was 1,000 Amos around the Levite city, and that 1,000 Amos was an open area. For the beauty of the city, it would not be settled or cultivated. And then there was another 1,000 Amos around that 1,000 Amos that was designated as fields and vineyards, and that also was part of the Ariel Levim. So basically, the Ariel Levim, like the Tchum of Shabbos, got an extra 2,000 Amos. Okay. The size of the area granted to the Levitical cities is identical with that of the Tchum Shabbos. Okay. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Tchum Ari Levim Alpayim Amo, Seimein Aleph, Elef Amo Lev Migrash, Nimtza Migrash Revia, Vashar Sodos Ukromit. So the key words here that are going to occupy the minds of the Gemara now are Nimtza Migrash Revia, which means that the open area of the 1,000 Amma around the city is one Revia, it's one fourth. What does that mean, one fourth? So first of all, the Gemara takes a break and says Minani Mili. In other words, what's the source for this open area, which we call Migrash, which is 1,000 Amos around the city? Amar Rava, Diyama Kra, the Torah says, Mikir Ha'ir V'chutza Elef Ama Misaviv. In other words, the open areas of the cities for the Levim are from the wall of the city outward 1,000 Amos. Those are the open areas, called Migrash. Amar Torah, Savev Esa'ir B'Elef. You know, set up a strip around the city of 1,000 Amma. Nimtza Migrash Revia. The Braisa says that the Migrash is one fourth. Now that doesn't make sense. You have an area around the city which is made up of 2,000 Amma, 1,000 of which is Migrash. Why do you call that Revia? Palgahavi. It's actually the equivalent of 50%. So the open area should be 50% of the total area, which is 2,000 Amma. So how do you get Revia? And the Gemara is going to offer two answers. One is Rava, and the other is Abaye. Omar Rava. Rava suggests the following. Bar Ada Mishocha, he came from a city called Mishocha. Azbrele, he explained me. Mishocha is not the name of the city, it's the name of actually his profession. He was a professional surveyor. He says, Mishkachas lo, you can understand this braisa in a case of Mosa Davi Trey Alfi Atrey Alfi. If a city is 2,000 Amos by 2,000 Amos. Okay, let's see how that's going to help us. He says, the Tchum area here refers to the primary area of the city of the Levium. And we're going to lot an additional 2,000 Amos on the four sides of the city. Right, with the four-cornered sections that we saw in Hilchos Shabbos. So the Tchum areas of the city extend 2,000 Amos in each direction. And those are the four directions. So we get those four squares of 2,000 Amos square. The corner areas are then added to complete the square. And that's going to give you that diameter with the extra 800 Amos. So the full Levitical area is a square that measures 6,000 Amos by 6,000 Amos. Right? Because you started with 2,000 Amma, and then you added 2,000 Amma on each direction. So you have 6 and 6 on the two corners that jut out from the middle of the city, the face of the city, and then you have the face of the city itself, which is another 6. Just 1 second, let me just see if I got that. I meant to say the total is 6. So you have 2,000, 2,000, and in the middle you have 2,000. Now, if you square off 6,000, so again, I don't have a calculator here, but 6,000 times 6,000 is the equivalent of 36 million square amos. Tchum Havishitzar. Now, how large are the four tchum areas? The four tchum areas. What does that mean, the four tchum areas? So the city is a square with sides of 2,000 amma. Each tchum area is the square of 2,000 by 2,000. Each tchum area thus totals 4 million square amos. Right, because 2,000 times 2,000 is 4 million. And since there are four such tchum, the total for the tchum areas, if you have 2 million, so you've got 4 million, because 2,000 times 2,000 is 4 million. 4 million, 4 million, 4 million, 4 million is 16 million. And we started with 36 million. So 1 second. So you're left up with 16. What's the ratio of 16 to 36? That's not a quarter. He says, Tchum Kamahavin Shitzar is Kronos Kamahavin Shitzar. So the Kronos are also the same, 16 million square. Is Dal Tamye de Tchumin, subtract 8 million square amos of the Tchum area designated as the open area. Ah, because 16 over 2 is going to be, no, is 8. Yeah, 8 and 8 is 16, am I right? So you're going to end up with 8 million square amos of the Tchum area that's designated as Migrash, the Arba de Kronos, and now you have the 4 million square amos of the corners, is Kamahavi Tresar. So you're left with 12 million square amos. So what does the Braisa mean when it says Nimtza Migrash Revia? Tfei Mitlasa Ninhu. Right, the ratio between 12 million square amos and 32 square million square amos is more than a third. So how do you end up with a quarter? Is Icy Arba de Mosa and Shidei Alayu. Take the 4 million square amos of the city and add them to the 32 million total. So the total area of the Ari Levium is actually 36 million square amos. And now you calculate the open area as a fraction of this. So what are we left with? We're left with, let's see, Zakati Tilsahavi. So the 12 million amma open area, right, which is the equivalent of one third of 36 million amma. So we're still not doing well. So the Gemara answers, Misavis Biribua Kama, you thought we're talking about a square city, Bigula Kama, it's a circular city. Kama Ribua Yeser Ala Igul. Right, how much do you expand the circle by making it into a square? Revia, it's right, one fourth, as we said before. Is Dal Revia Minayu, so subtract one fourth from the 12 million square amas that we assessed originally, we have to subtract one fourth. Is postulate Tisha, you're left with 9 million square amos, and Tisha Mitalsin Vishisa, the ratio between 9 million square amos and 36 million square amos is 1 to 4, because 4 times 9 is 36. That's Rava. And Rava is going to assume that we can only make this calculation of 1 quarter if we're talking about a circular city. Okay then, so at this point we're going to end here with Abai Omar. And I'll see you tomorrow at 8 o'clock in Mirza Shiva. Thank you.